Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. Thank you so much for spending some time with me today. It's almost Mother's Day, and while there are many commercials for what you can buy for a mom or a mom-to-be in your life, a real gift for any mother or mother-to-be is good maternal care, a safe place to give birth, right? How about not just a gift? How about that's a right? Christy Turlington Burns has been on a mission to help improve maternal care around the world. You may recognize her name, and you'd surely recognize her face. She's had a long and successful career as a model. She also happens to have a degree in public health from Columbia. She founded the nonprofit Every Mother Counts, which seeks to support initiatives and educate communities about improving maternal care both here in the U.S. and around the world. Every Mother Counts has funded projects in Bangladesh, Guatemala, Haiti, India, and it seeks out local organizations to partner with in each community. And I'm happy to welcome Christy Turlington Burns to our studio. So good to see you.
Thank you. You too.
So I interviewed you a couple weeks ago at a very small event, and I just love the message and what you've been doing, so I wanted to talk you into coming on the radio to share this with more people.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. So this organization really formed out of your own personal experience. Would you share that with our listeners?
Absolutely. Yes, I became a mom in 2003, and after a pretty perfect birth and pregnancy, actually, I experienced the unexpected, which was a postpartum complication that was what led to a postpartum hemorrhage, which is one of the leading causes of death and disability for moms coming through pregnancy and childbirth. And I mean, after such a great and positive experience, it definitely shocked me. And of course, once I went home, I wanted to know, like, why did this happen and how was I not prepared for it? And I came across some staggering information at the time. The world had global estimates around maternal mortality that were upwards of 530,000 per year, and that those numbers had not budged in decades. That just shocked me. I then learned that the U.S. was ranked 41st at that time, and that even shocked me more. So I started to think, like, what could I do to bring about awareness and also use my experience and whatever I had to offer to elevate this issue? So that led me to make a documentary film called No Woman, No Cry, which came out in 2010. I made that film whilst studying public health at Columbia. And when I came out of that, it ended up being that this was not the end of what I had to contribute. This was sort of the beginning. So Every Mother Counts was formed really to be a campaign to elevate awareness, bring some human stories to the statistics that the world was starting to talk about at that time, and has just grown and evolved as the needs have arisen.
What were some of the key areas that you wanted to focus on when you first began? And tell me about how that's also evolved.
Sure. So initially, the things that we kept noticing, no matter which country we were in, that access was a big problem. And access meaning either services weren't there or around for people to have, or distance and travel. Transportation was a huge gap, and nothing was being done about, like, how do people actually physically get there? The other thing is, if a woman could get to a clinic or a hospital or a dispensary, oftentimes understaffed, oftentimes overcrowded. In parts of sub-Saharan Africa, there are 3 women to a bed in a hospital. Neglect or abuse in facilities. Doctors, midwives, nurses telling women, you know, go home, or, you know, did you do this? Did you do that? I mean, just blame and shame. Mm-hmm. And then supplies. Oftentimes, you know, if you can make the effort, get to the facility, and there's a health worker, that health worker might not be trained adequately for the complications that are being presented, or not have the actual tools to be able to address those needs. So those were the sort of gaping holes that we initially started to identify and start to fund. When we became a 501c3 in 2012, we started to, you know, get people engaged, start partnering with organizations and companies, and start fundraising so that we could not only raise awareness, but actually invest in some of the solutions that existed out there.
I'm interested in the idea of supporting local organizations on the ground, because there's always this idea that organizations parachute in and then they pull out. And what does that lead? Tell me a little bit about the kinds of organizations that you partner with on the ground and how that leads to sustainability.
Absolutely. I mean, it's hard to run a small organization. It's like small businesses. Mm-hmm. It's really hard. And the rest of the world does not support them in the way that we should. So most of our partners are grassroots, community-led organizations. And many of them are too small to be eligible for grants in their country mm-hmm. or in their state or city. So it's really important to be able to come in and see like when something's working, when it has a leadership, and when it has a proven model that's making a difference. It might be making the difference for too few people to really make a mark, but we can help get them there. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the critical roles I think that Every Mother Counts plays. You know, there are so many community leaders out there that are doing incredible work. And so we really also think of ourselves as a platform to sort of elevate their voices, their work, and those models. Because this is one of those issues that while the numbers are way more than they should be, and there's not as much awareness about them on a global level, most of the solutions actually are known and exist. And so it's not one of those things where innovation is the only ticket, right? There's a lot we can do with low-cost solutions. And so things like training and building skills and transportation and like hygienic facilities, like there are some small things we can do and really make an impact. And that's really been our sort of sweet spot.
My guest is Christy Turlington Burns. We're talking about her organization, Every Mother Counts, which is working towards helping maternal health. That's what I'll say. Maternal mortality rates, helping to decrease them, obviously. Why do you think it's important to maintain a global perspective when we talk about this?
Well, I guess because I grew up with a mom who's from outside of the United States, so I've always had a very global perspective. Mm-hmm. But this world that we live in it's truly a smaller place mm-hmm. than it was some time ago. And I think that connection to other places in the world and the impact of our policies on other countries mm-hmm. and also the events and the incidences and the disasters and the whatever happens to other yeah. countries has a big impact on us. So I look at this issue as a truly global one, with the U.S. included. Oftentimes, this is an issue that's separated from international to domestic. And I really have, from the very beginning, I gave birth here. Mm-hmm. I learned that we were doing poorly. So we're ranked today in the U.S., we're ranked 46th. And New York is ranked 47th, wow. I believe, in the country. So, I mean, these are things that when you have that, like, yes, it's not on par with sub-Saharan Africa, but it could be, especially with the rise in maternal mortality that's happening right now.
People, I'm sure, are shocked when they hear those numbers about the United States. What is the cause of it in the United States, these high rates?
So since about 1990, I would say, there's been a bit of an alarm bell for those of us in public health that these numbers are on the rise. We're the only industrialized country with a rising maternal mortality rate. And we spend more per capita on healthcare than any other nation in the world. So that begs the question, why? Chronic health conditions, which we have been talking about to some extent, diabetes, we've been talking about obesity. We've mm-hmm. been talking about hypertensive disorders. These are things that are on the rise just generally for public health in this country. And all of those conditions have a huge impact on pregnancy and childbirth. As well, we have an over-medicalized birth system, right? Mm-hmm. Like the way that women give birth is typically in the hospital in this country, doctors primarily in hospitals. And that's great when you need it, but it's not always the lowest cost solution or the most respectful or comprehensive care that a mom might need, especially for a lowest risk pregnancy. And it's expensive. Mm-hmm. And too much intervention, there's an expression, too much too soon, too little too late, too much too soon is also contributing to some of these maternal deaths. And then, of course, last but certainly not least, it's probably the most important, and it's the conversation where maternal health is at right now, is racial disparities. There are huge racial disparities across the country in almost every area, but in terms of maternal health, Black women are 3 to 4 times more likely to die from a pregnancy or childbirth-related complication. That's on the national level. But here in New York City, up to 12 times more likely.
Wow.
And that is just staggering information. And that's been the case for some time. But I'd say now, today, more than ever, people are really saying, okay, well, let's get behind. Well, like, why? The answers that are coming out are not good ones. They are based on institutional racism, implicit bias, things that are uncomfortable to talk about and things that need to be talked about. And, you know, I think before the first sort of stage is a lot of doctors or hospitals or institutions are taking a sort of defensive line. Mm-hmm. But what really is needed is training early on in medical training, early on in schools, early on, so that that doesn't become another barrier that women face when they are in a position where they really, really need people to listen to them. And that's what's not happening. It's not happening for most women, but it's certainly not happening for women of color.
That was amazing, Serena Williams' story. Serena Williams, who had to convince doctors and nurses that there was something wrong. And her telling her story, I think, was an incredibly important point in this movement.
Hugely so. I mean, I wouldn't wish a complication on any mother, but the timing of her birth and her story, as all of these stories were emerging across the country of women who had not been listened to and had either died or had some significant morbidity, she came out saying, you know, I have a chronic health condition. I know my body. I manage this on a daily basis. I need help, and this is exactly what I need. I mean, she actually ordered the medication mm-hmm. that she need, and she wasn't being listened to. And so her coming out and speaking up about that at that time, I don't think she realized how powerful that was going to be for this issue or for so many women across this country. Yeah, I mean, having those stories, it just – what it did was it showed that this is not just poor women – who are underserved and they happen to be minorities or they happen to be women of color. This is happening across the board. This is happening to women who are highly educated, that have means, that have resources, and they're still being ignored, which begs that question of, like, we need to break through this racial disparity bias, this nonsense.
My guest is Christy Turlington Burns. We're talking about her organization, Every Mother Counts. So it's really interesting. Four of the Democratic presidential candidates who have announced are really behind legislation about maternal health issues. Gillibrand, Booker, Harris, and Warren, correct?
Yes.
Yesterday, Representative Ayanna Pressley also introduced a bill to combat maternal mortality. Where are we on the political spectrum? This is great that we have all these people supporting it. How do we move it forward?
I mean, the goal here is to make it a nonpartisan issue. And most people, when you have a conversation face-to-face, they get that, right? Healthy moms, healthy families, right? That's the mm-hmm. – you don't have one without the other. However, women's health is clearly political and clearly, for whatever reasons, combative. And whatever reasons. We know what the reasons are. It's really important. Like, all of this, there's been a lot of effort in the last decade, I would say, since I started campaigning on this topic. And there was a lot of goodwill about 8 to 10 years ago, and some great bills actually introduced. Those bills took forever to pass, two of which passed the beginning or the end of 2018. And some of the bills that that you just mentioned, some are being reintroduced. Some were introduced towards the last part of last year. And I had some meetings yesterday because I was in D.C. Talking to members, and some would say, oh, you know, we just signed this one. You know, it just came through. And we need to do more. Yes, we need to do more because it took a long time to get there. And now there are nuances. Each of these bills are sort of looking at it in a slightly different way. The Cory Booker bill was reintroduced today, and it's the most comprehensive. And so I'm a fan of what's included in it. It's looking at Medicaid and trying to make sure that there's expansion there. To be able to make sure every pregnant woman has care. It's looking to expand the coverage from 60 days, which is typical, from 30 days, actually, to a year would be phenomenal.
Wow.
It's looking at bringing more community doulas and community health workers into the picture, which are making a huge difference in the lives of women, especially those who are marginalized, who need other wraparound services to make sure that they go through this transition in their life healthily. So there was an unprecedented number of legislation created in the last year. I'm confident that that's going to continue. But what I would like to see is just more support, more, you know, the both sides of the aisle thing. It really does have to happen. Most of these bills have to have co-sponsorship. There are less members on the Republican side that are willing to do that. But there are a few, and they've been great. And so we need them. And I'm confident that these are going to go.
So when you go to D.C., what do you do?
Well, in this case, I mean, I used to go more frequently, and then I started thinking like, okay, this is going to happen at the state level or at the local level. And it has to happen. All of it has to happen. But I think it's sort of parallel paths. I think because of this opportunity, seeing those two bills go through at the end of last year, I think it gave us all a bit of you know, like a bit of wind in our sails. It can be a very
little energy.
Yeah. So we all came together. There's a thing called Mom Congress where it brings a lot of mothers from around the world that are activists. Most of them have a story themselves if they've lived to tell it. Widowers, family members who have lost women in pregnancy and childbirth related incidents. And this was really exciting in particular because they're now calling this the Momnibus. It's this idea there's like a collection of bills as opposed to one at a time and piecemeal. Mm-hmm. And this one was introduced by Representative Lucille Roybal Allard. It's a hard name. She's a Democrat from California. But I love that name, and it works so beautifully for the amount of bills that are being introduced. And I think there's real momentum. We had more members on every side come out and supported it throughout the day. Each of the people, the activists, would go to, you know, knocking on doors of their representatives. And, you know, they have to open the door. We forget as Americans that we actually have access to our elected officials. And so to go to our members, knock on the door, if you come from New York, they will see you. They will open the door and you will see somebody. You will talk to somebody. And so having a small, well, an army, a powerful army of mothers. You can't say small because moms are mighty, and collectively even more so. So I think we made a really big impact in the last 2 days.
It's interesting that you should say that because I'm imagining our audience, which is very invested and invested in the city and invested in each other in this community, thinking like, what can I do? What can I do? Is it call your representative? Is it donate money? Is it volunteer on a local level? What do you think would be really effective for someone to do?
I mean, it's all important. I think people got to do what they can do. And so for some people, calling representative is something that they can do, and it's satisfying, right? Because people will pick up the phone, and every elected official will take note of that, why you're calling and what issue you are interested in. So that's meaningful for sure. Fun, certainly. There's a huge gap in resources for this issue, and there's a large pie. And so, you know, like a little bit goes a long way, and that's something that we've been able to prove when we think about breaking it down of rides to facilities or hospitals, when we think about, you know, prenatal visitor, childbirth education, you know, those things are so meaningful on so many levels, and so funding certainly helps. And then we do a lot of partnerships. I think it's really important to, when you connect with an issue, and a lot of like women or mother-led companies they care about this issue, and so they have created products in partnership with Every Mother Counts that benefit the programs that we support. And that's been great too, especially around Mother's Day.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a shout out. It's so much fun to actually cruise around your website. You have all this stuff and all this important information. And then there's this Mother's Day vertical with all this cool merch. And a lot of the proceeds go towards your organizations. And you partner, you're very careful with whom you partner, correct?
Yes. Yes. I mean, I think it's really important. Like, we're small as well, but I like to, when I think about bigger companies than ourselves, to ask those questions, like, what are your maternity leave policies? Mm-hmm. What's your family, you know, walking the walk and talking the talk, right? Across the board. And I like to partner with people who are not just thinking of this as a cause marketing opportunity. Mm-hmm. I like them to really believe and really care. And like I said, every mother has a story. And so it turns out that a lot of people that are running businesses, successful businesses and tiny businesses, they care. And this means a lot to them.
So it's cool. You get like little Every Mother Counts onesies.
Yeah,
and
we have little kits, like onesies for like the newborn kit. We have a lot of great T-shirts and, you know, partnership with Claire V, a partnership with Citizens of Humanity and Anthropology, like some really cool fashionable pieces. And then, baby carriers. I mean, like stuff that's all the things that help support mom to be mom.
I think you should send one over to Megan and baby Archie.
I know, right? Hand delivered.
I think that might be some good promotion. I bet she'd be into it, too. The name of the organization is Every Mother Counts. My guest has been Christy Turlington Burns. You can visit Every Mother Counts at everymothercounts.org. Christy, thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
And listeners, I also highly recommend you check out the WNYC podcast, The Stakes. This week's episode, reported by my colleague, Verilyn Williams, is all about the issue of Black maternal mortality. We'll link to the episode on our website. We'll tweet it out. And we'll catch up with Verilyn in person to talk about it soon. Coming up after the break, we'll hear from Stephen Skybell and Jennifer Babiak, the actors who play Tevye and Golda in the acclaimed off-Broadway show Fiddler on the Roof in Yiddish. This is All of It on WNYC. We'll be right back.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.